Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Ethos Lakers family, we've got ourselves a round two. They say a series doesn't start until the team wins on the road, and the Lakers have taken game one on the road to the tune of a 117-112 victory over the Golden State Warriors. And how exactly did that happen? Lakers were coming into this series as an underdog, despite the fact that this newly constructed Lakers roster has won 3 out of 3 games versus the Golden State Warriors this season. There was a fourth game that the Lakers played versus the Warriors. It was game one of the season. The Warriors had just gotten their championship rings. It was an emotional night. And not to mention, the Lakers roster was, shall we say, different. Matt Ryan. Do you remember Matt Ryan? He played 17 minutes in that opening game loss to the Warriors. And so I don't know if you can really establish or take away anything from that game one way back in October. Now, I didn't partake in the preview episode of this series with Ethan, but one of the things that I would have wanted to talk about in looking at the three games, what I was expecting based on the three games that the Lakers did win versus the Warriors, was kind of what I saw happen. And one of the more consistent players who did really well against this Warriors team was Dennis Schroeder. And Dennis Schroeder in this game, in game one, played 31 minutes, finished with 19 points, shot 5 for 10 from the field, only took 1 3-pointer, and he missed it, but only took 1 3-pointer, 9 out of 10 free throws. He was a driving machine. Had 3 assists, got a steal off of Curry at the half court, grabbed 2 rebounds. Just an overall great game for Dennis Schroeder. One of those 2 rebounds, the game sealing rebound after the Jordan Poole attempt to tie in the last final 5 seconds. But one of the more interesting analytic takes of the box score is that of Jared Vanderbilt. Jared Vanderbilt was going into this series saying that he wanted the assignment of drawing Steph Curry. Now, the assignment of drawing Steph Curry is not an easy one, not simply because he's the greatest shooter in the history of this league, but because of how he plays the entire game. He's constantly moving. He's constantly relocating. It's exhausting trying to cover him because you're not covering him when he gets the ball and then tries to charge to the basket or then tries to dribble and, you know, get a shot over you. No, you have to chase him around that court constantly as he's trying to get open. Now, Steph Curry in this game managed to still get off 24 field goal attempts, in which he made 10 of them. Shot 13 threes, made 6 of those. This was a pretty good Steph Curry game. 27 points. He also got 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Klay Thompson, pretty good in this game. Even though he shot 9 for 25 and 6 for 16 from 3, when the Warriors were struggling and they needed a bucket, Klay Thompson was there. Now, it should be noted that this wasn't a dominant game for either side. The Lakers did have a 10-point lead when there was about 2 minutes left, and they nearly squandered that. But for the rest, throughout the entire game, it was within a couple of baskets. So this was a very hard-fought game, and it would have either been a hard-fought victory for the Lakers or the Warriors. But Jared Vanderbilt did a great job. To look at the plus-minus, he was the biggest positive on the Lakers board at +8. To put that into perspective, the second biggest was Troy Brown Jr., who played 12 minutes and didn't do a lot on the scoreboard, but he was actually pretty effective. And when Jared Vanderbilt wasn't guarding Steph Curry, Troy Brown was. And Troy Brown did a pretty commendable job. And he also took 1 3-pointer and he made it. Every time Troy Brown makes a 3-pointer post that trading deadline, I'm always grateful to Rob Pelinka that he kept Troy Brown around, because he's one of those guys, similar to Vanderbilt, that doesn't do a lot to show up on the scoreboard, but he's been a pretty reliable three-point shooter. Wenyen Gabriel, he also only played 4 minutes to spell Anthony Davis, but in his 4 minutes was +4. He played excellent defense out there. So how did this translate to Steph Curry? Steph Curry scored 27 points. What was his plus minus? Well, his plus minus for the entire game was minus one. The biggest positive that the Warriors had, and it was pretty obvious because when he was making baskets, it was pretty annoying and he was fairly unstoppable, was Jordan Poole. Now, Jordan Poole shot 7 for 15, extremely efficient. 6 for 11 from 3, extremely efficient. Plus 7 in the plus minus, finished with 21 points. Really great game for Jordan Poole. What is interesting about Jordan Poole is that he missed that shot that would have tied the game. And there's some debate about whether or not it was a good shot, it was a bad shot. It was from about 35 feet away. He was open, but there was 10 seconds left. In 10 seconds, you've got to imagine that Steph Curry might be able to relocate and get an open shot somewhere. You don't necessarily know if Jordan Poole is the person that you want taking that shot, but with this Warriors team, the Lakers are going to have to make a decision. And this Warriors team is a very pick-your-poison team. You either let Steph cook, you let Klay cook, you let Jordan Poole cook, you let Wiggins cook. Now, those are four guys who are capable of blowing a game wide open, but if you only let one of them cook, I think it does kind of hamper the rest of the team. Draymond Green wasn't super effective. He was a minus eight, although he did dish out 7 assists. One thing that you're going to hear being talked about constantly is the free throw discrepancy. The Lakers did shoot 29 free throws to the Warriors 6, but this comes down to a style of play issue. The Warriors did not drive very aggressively in this game. They were perfectly content shooting 53 three-pointers on the night. Now, they made 21 of them, which is 40%, which is 39.6%. That is an elite shooting night from three. And yeah, the Lakers basically chose their poison. Let the Warriors cook from outside. Let them have whatever they want outside. The Lakers are going to dominate from inside. And dominate, they did. Anthony Davis, 11 for 19. For the most part, for damn near the first three quarters, didn't really miss, I think, one shot. Finished with 30 points, grabbed 23 rebounds, dished out 5 assists because he was doubled. Oh, no, and then he threw in 4 blocks. LeBron James is an interesting stat line. 22 points, shot 9 for 24, 1 for 8 from 3. Not ideal. Although he did grab 11 rebounds, dished out 4 assists, and oh, and he got 3 blocks. He's perfectly capable of blocking a couple shots a game against this Warriors team. He's done it before. He'll do it again. How did our guy Austin Reeves do? Well, Austin Reeves had an unusual night. He had some big buckets, huge buckets in the third quarter. He had back-to-back threes at one point. Finished shooting 4 for 9, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Not a stellar night for Austin Reeves. But Austin Reeves spent a bulk of his night guarding Klay Thompson. Now, you'll remember Klay Thompson finished with 25, which is a lot of points. But Klay Thompson also shot 9 for 25, which created a lot of those rebound opportunities for our guy Anthony Davis. D'Angelo Russell did not have a great first half. Had an amazing second half. Finished 9 for 19. He finished 1 for 5 from 3. You'd like to see that done a little bit better. Overall, the Lakers shot 6 for 25 from 3. Not super ideal. But that's not really the Lakers' identity. We'll talk some more about Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder finished with 19, like I said earlier, shot 5 for 10, those 10 free throws. He was fantastic. Super aggressive. He led the pace. His relationship with Darvin Ham and how much Darvin Ham trusts him, which is turned into the rest of this Lakers roster trusting Dennis. Such a completely different situation than before with Frank Vogel. Like, I immensely trust Dennis Schroeder with the ball when he comes off the bench. I cherish those minutes. And there are times Dennis Schroeder doesn't have great games, but I always trust him. I always trust him to do the right thing, make the right decision. He's not a great three-point shooter. Sometimes when he shoots, I know it's not going in, but it's within the structure of what it is the Lakers are trying to do offensively, and I always trust it. Rui Hachimura, who was such a hugely impactful player in round one, played 11 minutes tonight, shot 2 for 2. Didn't get a lot of opportunities, only grabbed one rebound. There just wasn't a lot for him to do. And when you factor in how the Warriors are going to play, I don't think there's going to be a spot for Rui to be super impactful this series. Unless you're going to somehow get Rui to stop Kevon Looney from doing what he does, which is grab an immense number of rebounds. 7 offensive rebounds for Kevon Looney, 16 defensive for 23 in total. Folks, when is the last time two players who were guarding each other, for the most part, in a single game, both have 20 rebound games? I looked this up everywhere last night. I spent an hour trying to find out if this had ever been done. And I'm sure it's been done at some point, because there's a lot of 20 rebound games out there. I don't know if two people playing against each other who are guarding each other have both had 20 rebound games. It seems unlikely. I'm sure it's happened. I couldn't find it. If you know, or you can tell me it's happened before, I don't know why I find it so interesting. I just do. It's really interesting. Andrew Wiggins, he finished with 15, shot 6 for 14. What I think, and kind of what I thought the Lakers were going to do, and sort of what I thought would be a good strategy, and I sort of saw it in this game, was, yeah, Jordan Poole is a pretty good player, but he hasn't had a great season, and he wasn't particularly great in round one. He had his moments, for sure. I think with this Warriors team, you've got to let someone shoot a lot. Someone who isn't Steph Curry shoot a lot. And I honestly don't mind Jordan Poole. Like, I think Jordan Poole is going to have the type of game that he had tonight. Once, maybe twice a series. But other than that, I think you could just let him shoot, because I think he'll end up doing more harm than good. That's what I think. I'm not certain. But seeing him shoot 15 times, I definitely don't mind that. If you were to tell me beforehand that Jordan Poole is going to shoot 15 times, I would have guessed that he made 5 of them. And the Lakers were doing a lot of backing off of folks. Anthony Davis was parked in that lane. He wasn't coming out and doubling shooters the way I'm guessing Sabonis would. Anytime Kevon Looney was standing beyond the free throw line, Anthony Davis was just not there.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Now, Kevon Looney clearly doesn't have the range or the jump shooting skill to just shoot from free throw line that way. Otherwise, he would have. But let's move on to the game that I like to play come playoff time, is what is replicable? What's going to happen again? What's not going to happen again? Well, 30 points from Anthony Davis is actually fairly consistent with what he's done versus the Warriors this season. And against Kevon Looney, who's a pretty quality big, Anthony Davis has an immense advantage in this series. Charles Barkley said that Anthony Davis should average 35 for the series. I don't know if it's quite 35, but 30 points from Anthony Davis kind of seems about right. 23 rebounds, probably an anomaly. He had 19 defensive, 4 offensive. Probably a little bit of an anomaly. LeBron James, shooting 9 for 24. Probably not going to happen again. He's probably going to have a much more efficient game. He only shot 4 free throws. He's not as aggressive as he was before, but one of the things that I think is actually true, and I pointed this out on Twitter, is Tim Legler did a really great segment on SportsCenter where he talked about how Austin Reeves is doing the bulk of the ball handling now. And doing the bulk of this ball handling actually preserves LeBron James. LeBron James isn't going to drive as often as he used to as long as Austin Reeves is there handling the ball, as well as D'Angelo Russell, as well as Dennis Schroeder. Between Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, and Dennis Schroeder, those are 3 extremely capable ball handlers that can run the offense for the Lakers. Like, I think it's rare. I can't remember the last time LeBron has had more than one guy capable of running the offense. Like, LeBron has always run with, like, a Kyrie or, I mean, even when Russell Westbrook was here, he tried. But, you know, LeBron has had Dwayne Wade. I don't know if LeBron has ever had 3 guys on one team who are just certainly, who are capable of running the offense while LeBron sits there and figures out what to do for himself. Now, 9 for 24, not ideal. The 11 rebounds is great. The 3 blocks is great. I think if LeBron focuses defensively, that's going to be best for him this series. He's certainly capable of taking over and having a 50-point game versus a Warriors team. He's done it before in the finals. I don't know if that LeBron is the most prudent in getting a victory for this Lakers team. And I think he knows that. So 22 points might seem a little subpar for LeBron. I think that's going to be about where he's at. But I don't think you're going to see him shoot 9 for 24. And I don't think you're going to see him shoot 1 for 8 from 3. I hope not. Austin Reeves is an interesting case study. I was watching several professional gamblers who do live streams, and they're assessing which props they're going to take on the day. And at one point, he comes across Austin Reeves' points and rebounds, which was set at 8.5. He finished with 8. What I have found interesting as a guy who gambles on sports occasionally this season and gambles on props, you know, specifically, is Vegas books don't know how to assess Austin Reeves. Post All-Star break, the points per game average for Austin Reeves was set at 8.5 points. And there was a prop out there that said, how many times is Austin Reeves going to exceed this number of 8.5 points a game of the 23 games that were left? Is he going to do it more or less than 8.5 times? I saw that number back in February, and I'm like, well, Austin Reeves is going to crush this number. He can score 9 points more than 9 times in 23 games. Well, he did it in 20 of 23 games. Bookmakers, lines makers, they don't know what to make of Austin Reeves. His role has expanded so much. He played 38 minutes in this game. If you were to tell me beforehand Austin Reeves is going to play 38 minutes, I would have said he's going to crush every single prop. But I think he missed all of them. I think he missed every single one. He had 5 rebounds. I think that's the only one that he hit. I think his rebound number was 4.5. He had 3 assists. His assist number was 4.5. He had 10 points. I think his points number was 18.5. Lines makers don't know what to do with Austin Reeves, and he played 38 minutes. So there's room and there's capability for Austin Reeves to have huge games against the Warriors. If he's going to play 38 minutes every game, I promise you, Austin Reeves will not average 10 points a game. He's going to average a lot more if he continues to play 38 minutes a game. He shot zero free throws. Austin Reeves at one point in the second half of the season was leading the league in free throw attempts. He shot zero this game. In a game in which the Lakers shot 29 free throws to the Warriors 6, Austin shot zero. That's an anomaly. So for Austin Reeves to play 38 minutes a game this series, he's going to average more than 10 points. He's probably going to hit around 5 rebounds, and he's going to average more assists. I promise you. D'Angelo Russell played 32 minutes, shot 9 for 19. That's, honestly, even though he didn't have a great half, that's perfectly okay. If D'Angelo Russell is going to give you 15 to 22 points a game, that's what you want. I don't think anything about D'Angelo Russell's game last night was an anomaly. Jared Vanderbilt, from the stat sheet, I don't think you can rely on him for anything as far as stats. He's focused on Steph Curry. He's going to be guarding Steph Curry. Any points you get out of him are going to be cherry on top. Jared Vanderbilt shot 1 for 3 from three. He finished with 8 points. His projection was 5.5. His projection of 5.5 is probably about where he should be. But his focus is on Steph Curry. Dennis Schroeder, I think maybe played a little bit better of a game than he's going to end up finishing with. He shot 10 field goal attempts, which is, I think, good. He's probably going to shoot 8 to 10 times a game. He finished with 19 tonight. He's probably going to average between 13 and 19, which is going to be ideal. Troy Brown, he's going to be there for defense. I don't think you should rely on him. I think there's room for Rui to have a much bigger game. Rui, we talked about, played 11 minutes, only shot 2 field goals, made both of them, finished with 6 points, only grabbed 1 rebound in 11 minutes. This might not be the series for Rui, but there's certainly room for Rui to have a big game. Same for Wenyan. I don't think there's a lot of room for Wenyan to do. Wenyan's going to be there to spell Anthony Davis. I think at some point, and this honestly doesn't seem like a bad strategy, I think in like 90-second spurts at the end of quarters, if there's a comfortable lead or if you're not down too much, I'd say throw Tristan Thompson in there. Tristan Thompson has the experience against this Warriors team, and he's certainly a big and strong enough body who can contend with Kevon Looney. Didn't see Malik Beasley, didn't see Lonnie Walker. I think one of the two of them can have an impact in this series. I didn't see a place for them to play last night, and you know, depending on how this series folds out, that I don't see room for both of them to play. Darvin Ham's gonna figure out which one's gonna make buckets and which one isn't. To look at the Warriors. Now, Steph Curry, the Warriors, I think, in an effort to try to win this game, I feel like they tipped their hand a little bit when you look at the adjustments. I don't think the Lakers made any adjustments throughout the game. I think they had their game plan, and I think they stuck to it the entire game. Kind of to the detriment of the Lakers team. Towards the end of that game, the Lakers were exhausted, and it seemed like they were about to squander that 10-point lead. And Darvin Ham didn't call a timeout when he should have, probably. But at one point in the middle of the fourth quarter, the Warriors switched to his own defense. I think that tips their hand a little bit as far as what adjustments they might make in the next game. And I think it gives the Lakers time to look at that and see how they can adjust to that. And the Warriors adjusted from having other players bring up the ball and Steph Curry run around screens, try to get open that way, to having Steph Curry be the primary ball handler. Now, honestly, if Steph Curry is going to be the primary ball handler, I'm kind of more comfortable with that. Klay Thompson, I think if the plan is to have Austin Reeves play Klay Thompson, stick to that. I don't really know if there's much of an adjustment to be made there. Draymond Green, I think you can just kind of let Draymond Green do what he does, and he didn't seem to have much of an impact either way. Andrew Wiggins, LeBron was mostly on Andrew Wiggins. And I'm comfortable with that matchup. If Andrew Wiggins shot 6 for 14, that's, I'm good with that. If he's gonna shoot 6 for 14-ish every game and finish with 15, I think that's fine. Kevon Looney doesn't appear can be stopped from rebounding. He finished with 7 offensive rebounds. If Anthony Davis steps up to try to guard shooters, then that's just going to mean offensive rebounds for Kevon Looney, and the Lakers need to limit second-chance opportunities for this Warriors team, because I believe 2 or 3 times tonight, second opportunities from two-point attempts turned into made 3-point attempts for the Warriors, and you can't have that. Jordan Poole, I say let him do what he does. He wants to shoot. He's feeling himself a little bit after that first game. He was talking a little bit of trash. Let him do it. Dante DiVincenzo, Gary Payton, Jermichael Green, I think are going to be mostly ineffective. I think they're there for defense. If you're going to let anyone shoot, like, screw it. Let it be those guys. If you're gonna lose to the Warriors and you're gonna give open shots to DiVincenzo and Gary Payton and Jermichael Green, it was just never meant to be in the first place. So, you know, what is there to look forward to game two? A lot. The Lakers are up 1-0. You stole one on the road. You're playing with house money. But I don't think they should take game two lightly. I really hope they don't. They have a tendency to. They came out super flat in that game 5 against Memphis. And hopefully a lesson was learned from that loss in coming out that flat. And coming out the way they did in that game 6, winning by 40, that's got to be your mentality. And I think this Warriors team is better. And so the fact that it was such a tight game is to be expected. I don't think anyone is going to dominate this series one way or the other. So I think game 2 is going to be just as intense and just as nerve-wracking as game 1. But till next time, we are out. Hopefully looking forward to a great game 2, and we'll see you guys on Twitter. Have a good night.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.